Welcome to my Caucasian home.
Oh my God.
Talented Orient. Show stopping.
What?
Absolutely.
Spectacular.
My name is Ekaterina Petrovna Zamochkova.
Yeah, big gay out.
But you can call me Katya.
Diverse representations of trans people in the media, I think, are so important.
I guess I just look different.
Sing it!
I am proud to be gay.
Sing the fucking song!
Well, all right. If you insist, I'll sing my song.
Yeah.
Song.
No one stops me.
Gay Panic with Jack and Jake.
My machine. Girl was mine. I drifted, shaped.
Boom.
Good morning.
Welcome. Oh, you're just waking up. That's so cute.
It's so interesting.
It's
been a bender since Wednesday.
It's been an absolute bender. People have been on the Kappas, on the MD.
Ouchie.
I'm just literally naming the drugs right now. I was trying to do it in a sly aspect and maybe keep it on the down low, but no, I'm just out and proud.
Yep.
I'm a gay man and I'm allowed to not get married yet.
Nah.
But Australia has acknowledged that, yeah, we do formally agree with the fact that, yes, 61% of you... 0.6
agree
that same-sex couples should have the right to be married, which thank you so much.
I think the most exciting thing was going to Taylor Square later in the afternoon and just seeing how many people showed up, and then also how many people were in celebratory spirit. I haven't seen Oxford Street like that.
Oh my God.
Well, yeah, probably since Mardi Gras, but I mean just like not midst festival season. Mm. I haven't seen it that densely packed since before lockouts. And it was like it was a Saturday night like 5 years ago.
It was actually so awesome. So I got to Taylor, both you and I were at Taylor Square at about 5 p.m. And the emotions of people, everyone was super happy. It was just a really friendly vibe. And Oxford Street needed that, if anything. I mean, obviously, we've been seeing this massive decline in clientele and people going to Oxford Street, maybe just because gay people feel more comfortable and integrated into heteronormative society. But the fact that we have somewhere to celebrate that is a safe space is Oxford Street. And I think that's just where everyone knew they were going. Parade happened down from Taylor Square all the way through Oxford Street, and I think eventually ended up in two locations, Prince Alfred Park and Hyde Park.
Yeah, I saw a couple of friends going to, there were like a number of stage setups in Hyde Park, so it was just like a buzz with the festive spirit. How were you kind of once it were announced? I was here watching it in the newsroom as it came out, and the ABS guy is just like, I'm going to go through all the stats possible.
Oh my God.
And kind of like play this out and just be like, I've got all the details and all the juicy goss, but where were you and what was your reaction?
So I was at work as well, just watching at my desk at my computer. I tried to skip out, but a student had an emergency, so I had to work with them. So I was kind of just watching nervously and did, as it got closer and closer to the actual announcement of the results, I felt myself getting more and more anxious. And I was just like, what is happening? Mainly because, like, I don't even know if I want to get married. Marriage to me isn't necessarily the most important thing in the world. And I think for a lot of people within the LGBT community and a lot of same-sex attracted couples, they may never feel the need to get married. But for those who do, and the fight was eventually for the people who have never had the right to get married and it's never been an option for them. So I think that was the big win eventually. But anyway, I was I wasn't expecting to be so affected emotionally and psychologically. And when it was actually announced, I teared up. I got pretty teary and emotional. You had a bit of a teary event.
It's the same thing that you were just explaining there. Like, I'm not at my point of life where I want to get married. Obviously, once I do get to that point and I would choose to, I feel like I would want to have the opportunity to be able to.
Yeah.
But it's the same thing, you know, for generations before us who have paved the way and we've come so far in terms of the equality movement and just recognition and validation that who we are isn't the pinnacle of everything bad.
Mm.
And just to know that this meant something to those people and that we can unite together as a community. And I think that just really overwhelmed me. And we were downstairs here and we were watching it, eagerly awaiting the result. And we were like accidentally watching ABC2 and Antiques Roadshow came on. And we're like, well, this isn't like the announcement. Well, maybe it is. And it's just like really archaic. But then we watched it. And then the result was, 61.6, I think you were just saying, which is the majority vote, which doesn't seem to be that steered in terms of towards the yes vote. It seems a little bit low, but nonetheless, a yes majority. But then we walked back upstairs kind of just resumed work as per normal, but then just strangely wasn't feeling all there. And I was working with two gorgeous girls, Shane and Ellen here, and we were just sitting in the same room. And then I started breathing really heavily, and then I walked out, and Shane's like, "Are you okay?" And I'm like, "I'm fine." And then I walked into the bathroom and I just lost it. I just started bawling and I didn't anticipate it. And I was also like, well, like we were talking about before, I was just like, yeah, whatever. For me personally, at this point in my life, it's not like be all end all. It's definitely part of rallying the community together and moving towards equality, because that is what this is. But it just kind of overwhelmed me and I got really upset and I just kind of like had a big cry in the bathroom and came back up, and both Ellen and Shane like gave me a hug and they said, I got some text messages from some girlfriends as well. Like,
yeah, me too.
One of my like good, like my best girlfriend from high school, Emily, who's still one of my best friends now. She just said something along the lines of like, this is, I'm so happy for you and I'm so happy for everyone that they have this opportunity now. So I think that that's the great thing as well. Obviously, there is still a groundswell of people who don't approve, given that there was a 38% plus of the no vote, but that there are people like our allies who are now reaching back out to us once this is all subsided for now. Obviously, we're going to go into the legislative, hopefully, stage of pushing marriage equality through, but that it has united people in this way and that the community is stronger than ever now, I think.
Yeah, absolutely. I think there's some really important moments that came out of the results from that survey. And kind of one of them was that the ABS man said 7 million something, and then everyone was kind of trying to do the math in their head. And I'm like, it's 12 million that actually got the survey. So 7, definitely we win. As soon as like I was high-fiving the air. But a lot of people just didn't realize that that meant the majority and had to wait for the 61%.
I think it's like amidst, like, you know, the US election and the popular vote and the mixing of numbers and all that sort of stuff that happened in the US, that everyone's like 7 million. We're like, what does that mean? Where am I? What is this vote even about? But it was very kind of like a tumultuous time. And I think we'll continue to be one for the months to come until we see some sort of bill or roll on through the parliament.
I think it's going to happen quite quickly. So Penny Wong has already been one of the members who's signed a movement to basically put the bill into parliament and to bring it into legislation. And that is the first bill that was written up, not the second bill that it's put forward by, I think, a Liberal Party member, which essentially allows people to have discrimination on the grounds of, for instance, if a trans person is trying to get married, so a trans woman who's transitioned from a man into a woman to their lesbian partner, and they're both getting married in a same-sex venue, or to their opposite sex partner, they can, so a person who is overseeing the wedding can actually call that trans person by their dead name, so their name that they've transitioned to, they can refer to them as their previous gender.
Can we slap the shit out of the person who's performing the ceremony?
This snake who looks like Burns off The Simpsons, and I'm like, rightly so, you're an absolutely abhorrent person. But essentially that whole act is full of discrimination that pretty much revokes the rights of anybody to complain for being explicitly receiving prejudice or discrimination, and it's pretty much against human rights. So I'm really hoping that law doesn't pass.
I think just get over it. You know, that's just like, it's like, if you get offended, then you shouldn't be, because it's freedom of speech.
We will also talk, I think, a little bit about some of the areas that maybe experienced a higher no vote and sort of break down why we think that might have happened. A lot of people are quick to jump to the gun in terms of relations to religious or cultural beliefs, but I don't think that's probably the crux of the issue. I think there's a few other things at play.
Can I unpick some of that a little bit later? We're also talking chemsex, which is an interesting area which we have divulged into in programs previous here on Gay Panic, but this one's a little bit different as opposed to looking at gay men who have sex with other men, and obviously content warning on this one, in kind of an illicit environment. There is drug use involved. There was a doco a couple of years back.
Yeah, it was titled Chemsex, and really interesting investigation into the use of methamphetamines or GHB during sexual intercourse, and basically making it last for a long time and the addiction that comes up from that and what the effects are, especially in relation to HIV transmission. This particular study by Dr. Rachel Deakin from the University of Sydney was presented at a conference in Melbourne and is really targeting lesbian, gay, oh, sorry, lesbian, that's the word for gay, for women.
Interesting.
Bisexual and queer women who might use drugs during sex and what that exactly means. So we'll be having a chat to her about why that's the case, what the findings of her research were, and maybe why we're still sort of relating this stereotype to just gay men solely using drugs while engaging in sex.
Can I ask you one question?
Yes.
You realize you say Melbourne.
Oh, yeah.
And you're from Victoria.
Yeah.
Why is there like a state divide? Like, do you all just enunciate it like weirdos?
So I think this, like, this is an ongoing argument with me and one of my friends, TK, who is actually born and bred in Melbourne. I say everyone from Melbourne says it like that. And then he says no, because he obviously has correct pronunciation and enunciation. And my mother would be horrified to know that I just cannot pronounce words, but it's with the E's and the A's. I ruin them and can't do them differently. Like, Ellen DeGeneres. I don't know if that sounds just wrong.
That does sound a bit gross.
Well, either way, like
Ellen DeGeneres. Elephant.
Balcony.
Balcony.
Album.
Album.
Yeah.
It's kind of like Canadians with their weird, ooh. Or like, what's the weird thing that Canadian people do, supposedly? It's like,
when they say a boot, like, and oh, yeah, those boot, kinds of things.
But it's you and Melbourne.
Yeah, I basically have some very weird enunciations and can't help it. So thank you very much for pointing that out on
trademark
radio.
It. Make it's some really money good. Off it.
I'm so excited that that's happened. So you are listening to Gay Panic here on 2SCR 107.3. We're going to obviously spin some massive tunes for you.
Ouch.
As we always do.
What are you going to play?
Well, look, I'm really excited to have new music from Jack Colwell.
Oh, wonderful.
Yeah, so I would like to play that first.
Is that also in time with the Yes announcement? Has that been strategically planned? We've had Jack on the show before. Mm. I hope he's listening. Jack, what's the answer? Let's just wait for the answer.
Yeah, let's wait for... Jack?
Hello? Do you have the answer? Do you have the line?
Call him up. Get him a helicopter.
Bring him in here. We have to do it right now. Yeah, Barack Obama. I'm so sorry, but excuse me. Can you get Jack Colwell on the line?
Unfortunately, he is not on the line, but we will have a listen to his latest single, Pigeons and Peacocks, which maybe was brought in for the same-sex survey.
If we could fly him in.
Fire a pigeon.
No, fly him in.
Oh, right.
Because it's birds, and we could get him in to explain it. Anyway, let's hear it. I'm really looking forward to it.
This is Jack Colwell with Pigeons and Peacocks. We'll be chatting to Dr. Rachel Deakin next on Gay Panic.
Under the ermine furs, we gather. Two bodies now old. The moon is drunk, deep intoxication. For a moment, we are one. One from those streets we live in. One from those words we share. I once had a heart that was wrapped up in golden. Outside I laugh, but inside I'm still. The Berlin Wall fell the year that I was born. Two halves, an hour old, I'll grow my hair. Say that I will love you. In the morning you were gone. Gone from those streets we live in. Gone from those words we share. I once had a heart that was wrapped up in golden. Outside I laugh, but inside I'm steel. Thank you. different kinds of beds. I guess that's often so. You tell me that there's two different kinds of souls. Guess they've drifted far, far from those streets we live in, far from those words we shared. I once had a heart that was wrapped up in gold, and outside I love, but inside I'm still. I once had a heart that was wrapped up in gold, and outside I love, but inside I'm
Cobra Club is the newest night of live music in the heart of Newtown. Cobra Club brings the hottest up-and-coming bands to the Wayward stage, live and free every Tuesday from 6 p.m. November's Cobra Club lineup already includes Full Flower Moon Band, Planet, and Low Tide. Discover your new favourite band at Wayward's, above the Bank Hotel in Newtown. Sponsors of 2SER 107.3.
Wakey, wakey. All right, let's see what we have today this morning on social media. Oh my gosh, my life is so perfect. I am so blessed and grateful for everything that's happened to me. It is time to slay and seize the day, girl, like Beyonce. I am ready. So it's gonna be forever.
You can wake up and slay every morning and listen to Gay Panic at the same time, okay? Head to 2ser.com/gaypanic and listen to all the latest episodes. It's gonna be lit.
We are love, we are love.
It's the latest single from Panow. It's called Go Bang. And yeah, I'm absolutely obsessed with it. I feel like it's 2000s. I feel like it's very, I was going to say now, but that's not now. It's 2017.
It's Panow.
But Changa is the album. It came out just last week on the 10th of November. You also heard in there too from Jack Colwell, Local Boy with Pigeons and Peacocks. Absolutely love that little number. He's such an emotional marshmallow and I'm sick for it.
I'm also loving the release so close to the postal survey that came out on Wednesday. And he always has beautiful ballads to go along anything that's progressively moving forward with the queer community. And so lovely that he's a Sydney-sider too. True. And we're definitely repping that music. Hey, you're listening to Gay Panic. Jack and Jake with you here for the next little while. Now, in Melbourne this week, the Australasian Professional Society on Alcohol and Other Drugs held its scientific conference, and a number of talks centered around the LGBTI community, including tobacco use in lesbian and bisexual women, improving alcohol and well-being outcomes for same-sex attracted women, and do lesbian, bisexual and queer women have chemsex, examining context of drug use.
Senior Research Officer in Sydney Medical School within the University of Sydney, Rachel Deakin, presented the findings of the ChemSex study as part of the Food for Thought presentations. Rachel joins Gay Panic now on the line to talk us through the study. Rachel, thanks so much for chatting with us this evening.
Hi, it's lovely to be on your show.
Yeah, pleasure to have you. And this study obviously came to us in terms of highlighting itself, because we do talk about chemsex a fair bit on this show, and normally it's centred around the conversation with gay men. First off, can you maybe tell us how the research in your study was conducted?
Sure. So this research was with a larger study, the SWOSH survey, which is a cross-sectional survey of women connected to the LGBT community in Sydney. It's been running every 2 years since 1996, and we've consistently found over the years that illicit drug use is really high amongst women who respond to our survey. I'll just add the main collection point for us is women who are attending the Fair Day celebrations, but they're also recruited from other events around the Mardi Gras period in those years. So illicit drug use is really high among these women. In 2016, the last iteration, so we surveyed 600 women, which is fairly typical for us, and 45% of women had used illicit drugs in the last 6 months. And this is, it really hasn't changed since we first started the survey. If anything, it's probably gone down slightly. And so on the back of this really high illicit drug use, we were interested in learning more about the context in which women use drugs, how they use drugs. And so we added an additional question in 2016 asking about what's the venue that the situation where you usually use drugs. And we asked about do you usually use this specific drug in the home or at a venue or a party or during sex? And we asked about during sex because there has been, as you've said, alluded to before, quite a lot of work done amongst gay and bisexual men and drug use during sex. But when we did a search, we found there was no literature or results or any data about whether queer women use drugs during sex. And, you know, anecdotally, we know, well, it can't be none. So that's why, yeah, we added that context. And so we found that of the women who had used illicit drugs in the last 6 months, 15% said, yes, I usually, you know, I would be using, you know, these drugs in during sex.
It's interesting just kind of because you've kind of collected a decent portion of data here over the past two decades or so. Why is it, do you think, that it hasn't, we haven't shown a light on this yet, like among bisexual, lesbian and queer women who do engage in chemsex? Why now in 2017 has this all come together?
Well, I guess, unfortunately, I think across the board, women are neglected in a lot of research and in LGBTI circles as well. There's been a big historical push for HIV research, and that's been dominated by research into gay and bisexual men. And unfortunately, I think queer women come off as a bit of a neglected sideline. yeah, I think that's the primary reason going on there.
There's a few, I guess, issues around the research into chemsex, in that one of the iterations of it is the idea that chemsex is related to the contraction of HIV. And from previous research, we know that HIV isn't necessarily linked to gay men, especially in wider research. It's almost linked largely to heterosexual men and also to heterosexual couples as well. But for this idea of chemsex, so sometimes we're talking about methamphetamines and GHB. Did you go into the context of what sort of drugs gay or bisexual or queer women were using during sex?
Yeah, so it was a little bit different to that usually found amongst gay and bisexual men. So we found the top drugs were actually cannabis, ecstasy, cocaine, and amyl or poppers. Methamphetamine was there as well, but at a lower rate. So it's not dominated by, you know, the methamphetamine and GHB use that we've seen. I might just add we are planning on improving our questions next time, because one thing that we haven't really gone into is sort of motivations for using drugs during sex, or was it purposive use of drugs, you know, specifically to enhance sex for these queer women? We haven't really answered that question, and it may be that for women who do use drugs to enhance sex, it may end up being different sorts of types.
Navigating through all this data and info, what do you then, once you're kind of coagulating it together, what do you do with this information? Is it to go and influence other bodies of research that might follow on for this, or what's the plight from here?
Well, we asked it from an aspect of trying to improve sort of harm minimization messages that might be relevant for specifically lesbian, bisexual, and queer women, and for those women for whom, you know, drug use is becoming problematic, trying to influence models of treatment that might be more tailored to their needs, because learning more about drug use, it's not just enough to know about prevalence. You need to understand how and why drugs are being used, what social context and the motivations for that, because otherwise developing better harm reduction medicine messaging is just not going to get there.
And so you mentioned models of treatment. What might some of those look like?
I think there is some work starting up in Sydney around this. ACON, who's our community partner on this study, does do some tailored LGBTI drug treatment methods. But I think a lot has to do with making medical services friendly for LBQ women. We know from other research that medical services can often be a bit rather daunting and not very good at treating LBQ women particularly well, and that prevents women from seeking out their help and not getting very good help for those women who are seeking it.
The idea around those services not being necessarily that well equipped to work with people or inviting in terms of being an opening source of information for LBQ women isn't necessarily something that is unusual, and especially on a longitudinal study that's been done over the past couple of decades. I'm not surprised to see that even the use of drug use has declined, but in terms of it from a more of a historical point of view, why do you think that there isn't as much conversation or discourse around drug use in general? I'm wondering if it's maybe because people are afraid that this conversation around drug use may in fact bring the numbers back up rather than limit them. Is that a potential reason?
I don't know if that's a very large concern. I think there's a big issue here with stigmatizing drug use. You know, some not so friendly media can sometimes jump on these stickers and go, "Oh, well, look, you know, having an LGBTI identity. Well, look, it's bad. It's unhealthy, and don't go there." But you know, drug use is for anyone across society is a lot more complicated than that. We know that. You know, it can be used for celebratory, fun ways. You know, coping with everyday life, And, you know, for people who are, you know, dependent on drug use, it does become a hard issue to work for, and there are no easy answers there.
Absolutely. And in terms of keeping up with your study and your research, is there a way that our audience or that we can keep up to date with what you're doing, Rachel?
Yes, of course. So our community partner, ACON, you can go on their website on the Women's Health page, and we've got all of our reports there. They're in PDF, so you can download them, have a look at the stats that we've got there. The talk that I gave at the APSAD conference in Melbourne, that's available as an abstract under the Drug and Alcohol Review Journal, which is an Australian drug and alcohol report. And we've also recently published a paper on smoking amongst LBQ women that came out earlier this year. That's available from the Drug and Alcohol Review. Yes.
Amazing. Well, it's a massive body of research and definitely something that I think is worth continuing investigating and will change, obviously, as you add those new questions too. I'm excited to see what happens from there. Do you think, apart from adding those other questions over the next 2 years, when you do go back into the research area again, will you be looking at anything else in particular?
Well, we did not ask about alcohol use and what situations women use that in. We ask about alcohol use in general, and it's, you know, rather higher than the general population, so we're adding that. And yeah, just sort of getting some more nuanced questions perhaps about reasons for drug use, and also trying to add some questions about, so those women who are seeking help for their drug use, where it has become problematic, where they're seeking help from, and is it working for them? And perhaps more also about the, you know, is you know, using drugs during sex or other situations, is it creating problems for people? Is it creating issues with their intimate and sexual partners in their relationships? Is drug use becoming an expected thing to be doing during sex? We really don't know. We hope to get some more nuanced data on this over the next few years.
Yeah, we look forward to keeping up to date with it. And, of course, all that information will be on 2scr.com/gay-panic. Rachel, thank you so much for joining us on the line.
Thank you so much for asking me on.
Pleasure. That was Dr. Rachel Deakin from the Sydney Medical School within the University of Sydney talking to us about a recent reflection at the Australasian Professional Society on Alcohol and Other Drugs scientific conference down in Melbourne. Do lesbians, bisexual and queer women have chemsex? Examining the context of drug use. As she said, if you want to catch up on any more of that information, will be available on the ACON website under the Women's Health section and, of course, on our website too.
Gay Panic is what you're listening to. Jack and Jake with you through to 8 o'clock. We're going to jump to some tunage now. I feel like I have some songs I want to play, but I see you've got your playlist up there and we're probably not going to get to mine tonight, which is interesting. And I think perhaps you should leave.
Well, yeah, I mean, I didn't really ask you what you wanted to play before we got into it, and so I just got my playlist up, and it's really cool that I have access to my music and I'm on the controls.
So. It's really interesting. I think that, well, because we only have two programs left, to the listeners who weren't alerted to the fact that Gay Panic will be wrapping up at the end of the month, not just for the year, but in fact for forever, unless we do like a Will and Grace special and come back. How many years later? Like 11 years time, we'll come back and do 16 episodes. And then, you know, they've already gone on like a hiatus for a month on Stan. So Will and Grace,
such a joke,
queer TV talk show from the 90s, came back. They're doing one more season, and then they take a month off after 6 episodes. Like, I'm like, are you serious?
Yeah, am I going to throw you guys like down the bin? What's going to happen?
Yeah, like the rubbish chute?
Yeah, is there something happening there? I don't know. Who knows? This is some music from Ilya Swiftmo. It's off Triptych, little EP he put out a
while any
ago.
Of those words, to be quite honest?
It's spelled I-L-J-U-S-W-I-F-M-O.
So not one a word.
Not a word. It's Uncomfortable, the name of the tune, and as this conversation is right now, and the feeling in the studio. You're on Gay Panic to SCR 107.3.
just announced for Golden Plains, the Lords of Scottish Rock, Mogwai, arrive in Sydney. Submit to their formidable live show with towering intensity and perfect crescendos at post-rock volumes. Sunday, March 4 at the Enmore Theatre. Tickets on sale now from Ticketek. Presented by Penny Drop, Langway Presents and Chug Entertainment, sponsoring 2SER.
You already know what that means. What's that? Girl, that's drama. Drama.
There's plenty of drama here on Gay Panic with Jack and Jake.
In the House, cult film classics return to Event Cinemas George Street, November 24, with The Warriors. These are the armies of the night. They are 60,000 strong.
Warriors, come out to play.
Hosted by Seven's Jabba and Quinny from Supernova. Check the full In the House program and grab tickets at eventcinemas.com.au. Event Cinemas George Street, sponsors of 2SER 107.3.
Gay Panic Radio on 2SER or we'll beat the shit out of you. Outside, how about that?
In the heat of the moment, you can say that you want me. In the heat of the moment, in the heat of the moment, in the heat of the moment. Tell you that you own me in the heat of the moment, in the heat of the moment. But I never wanna ask of you anything that's on my mind, anything to show that I'm just in the moment. But I never wanna say to you what I keep inside, 'cause when I think about it.
That is Taishi, redone by Robo Kid. Say You Do is the name of that tune. You also heard in there too some other tracks. They were pretty good, weren't they?
They're fine. They smelled good.
I mean, I loved them. I was sick for them. It's some dirty trance stuff going on this evening on your Friday night. 2SER 107.3. Gay Panic is the program you're listening to. My name is Jack and that's all that matters. Welcome to me, my host, my show.
Oh, we've got a smelly little bitch in the studio. But like we were just saying before, that series of music, if you might call it, we announced last week, I think it was, that this is the second last program of Gay Panic.
Yep.
We are calling it a close just in time for the fact that same-sex marriage won't go through the parliament. Not at this point, anyway.
Basically, that we approved same-sex marriage. So thank you to us and to everyone else who campaigned. But no, seriously, thank you to the campaigners, because if it wasn't for the people who were calling up, doing the cold calls, calling their family members, calling people who generally would have potentially voted but maybe couldn't have been bothered but did did because somebody gave them a call. Yep. Thank you for pushing those votes through the line. Because as we said, even though it was 61.6% of the majority said yes, still relatively slim, although numbers-wise, it's millions.
Yeah.
Still, good for them for getting those millions out. And everyone who handed out postal surveys, who just got involved in the whole thing, it's an awesome job. And we want to talk a little bit, really briefly, about the postal survey itself, because there is some kind of disturbing figures, particularly within New South Wales.
Yeah.
So Sydney tied number one for yes votes in terms of percentage with Melbourne.
84% but to the yes vote.
Then in Western Sydney, we see a complete switch in terms of yes and no votes. So in Blaxland, it's one of the highest populations of no votes, if it is the highest, rather, with, I think, 75% around that of no votes. And yeah. We also saw, in general, of the top 10 no voting areas, 8 of them were in New South Wales, and most of those resided in Western Sydney, which is basically in Sydney, and if not soon to be announced as the centre of Sydney because of the sheer magnitude of how big this place is.
Yeah, so we're looking at areas like Parramatta, McMahon, Werriwah, Fowler, Watson. It's kind of like an interesting mix or an interesting blend of people who, in fact, voted the no majority. And there's a lot of people quick to jump the gun and say, you know, it's because of, you know, different cultural or religious backgrounds. I think it's also because there was a bigger concentration of no campaigning in that area as well, or perhaps a lack of yes campaigns in that particular area. I was talking to a mate of mine who lives out in the West, and they were saying, yeah, it was just like incomparable. You know, in the Sydney area, we had like heaps of yes campaigns, heaps of flags put up everywhere, just like a general boost of for the yes vote. But out in Western Sydney, there just wasn't as much being done. There was more a saturation of, you know, people opening up their mailbox and seeing some of, you know, like the religious bodies sending out people, you know, like pamphlets about, you know, heterosexual is the way, gay couples are like morally and religiously wrong. So I think there have been a lot of people who have been quick to place the blame on, you know, a number of particular communities, migrant communities, and then also religious communities. But that's definitely not the case. If you wanted the vote to swing a particular way, and you are one of the people who is adamantly behind the yes vote, maybe you did or didn't campaign, but remember that we remain in the Sydney bubble here. 84% to yes is great, but it just remains that outside of the Sydney bubble are communities too, and campaigning needs to reach into those communities.
And there was a really interesting post from a woman that also volunteers on another community radio station that I work with, who lives out in Western Sydney and was campaigning for the yes vote, and talked about the reasons of why people were quick to jump the gun. They're saying that minority and different cultural communities are against gay marriage, but that's simply not the case, is what she said. And she talked about it and explained it in a really clear and informative way, which I thought was great. Because it takes this idea of race and a relation of race's idea of what it means to be gay and straight, and that they're all homophobic, out of that equation. Basically looking at the fact that it wasn't necessarily that they don't agree with same-sex marriage, but that the language barrier was huge for them. So a lot of the no campaigners were bringing it down to this grassroots smear campaign and saying that gay equals essentially, you know, trans children, gay equals people with HIV, gay equals this. And that was what was getting through to people who English may not be their first language. And that idea, obviously, someone's going to vote no on this campaign if that's all the information that they have and that they're aware of. And fair enough. I mean, I would probably do that if I wasn't able to be as informed as possible. And if I was in a different country where I didn't speak the language and didn't know anything else, I'd probably say, yeah, I don't want that to obviously happen. But there was no one there educating them or explaining the difference in nuances. And in language in particular, when you're saying gay marriage equals equality, what does that mean to somebody from a different cultural background? What does equality mean? And what message are you trying to get across? When the no campaigners are simply explaining it as in, do you want your child to have HIV? Do you want someone to become transgender? Do you want this to happen? Which is obviously not true. True, but it seems like truth because they're both the same thing. They're pamphlets for and against.
It's interesting also to see people come out from, you know, our particular community, which is the queer community, and also saying, oh, I was so surprised to see that there was like a state divided with New South Wales, which I don't think was, in my opinion, personally that surprising, because we are the most densely populated state in the nation as well. And to just have like the biggest divide down the middle in terms of, you know, out of metropolitan in rural areas. So yeah, I don't think that it came as that big of a surprise. I think that the people have spoken out about it and been like blaming particular groups, blaming particular communities, all that sort. it's a bit of a kick in the bum for us well to realize that if we remain in our Sydney bubble here, yes, 84% is amazing, but just realize that, like we were just saying before, extend to the regions beyond. I'm just interested to see how this will continue to roll out, as you were talking about before, Penny supposedly bringing something...
A second bill
into Parliament. This isn't necessarily the first one. But interesting to see how a number of the politicians will either latch on or remove themselves from the conversation entirely. Christopher Pine liking some gay porn on Twitter and blaming it for some hacking or whatever, or, you know... It was just like so poorly timed, but also so amazingly well timed. If you don't know, politician Christopher Pine supposedly liked a gay porn post on his Twitter profile, and everyone kind of has lambasted him post that. It's just an interesting time. I'm glad that we've reached beyond this point now. It has been a toxic couple of months, and hopefully it won't be another couple of toxic months to come.
Absolutely. We're going to take a quick musical break before we come back and say goodbye. This one is from Sampa the Greats, Birds and the Bees. It's called The Truth. It's one of the shorter tracks off the album. Have a listen.
Shawn's, I'ma show you how the rhythm follow everywhere I go. Motherland with the kids of all of your women. Come, give me anyone who can swim my lyrics. I ain't sure you got nothing to crap on. You don't know black, you got nothing to rap on. You don't know oppression, you got nothing to rap from. Let me hear another man stepping in the motherland. Let me see a gimmick, there ain't nothing you can mimic up the truth.
Can you dig it?
In the House, cult film classics return to Event Cinemas George Street, November 24 with The Warriors. These are the armies of the night. They are 60,000 strong.
Warriors! Come out to play.
Hosted by Seven's Jabba and Quinny from Supernova. Check the full In the House program and grab tickets at eventcinemas.com.au. Event Cinemas George Street, sponsors of 2SER 107.3.
You are on 2SER 107.3. Jack and Jake with you, Gay Panic, for a second last time. It's going to be an amazing little program next week. We've got some special stuff lined up for you. Lisa Rose, regular contributor and filmer and artist and artiste and lesbian, prolific lesbian, Lisa Rose.
Yeah, just like on the scale of prolific lesbians, and like she's well tipping the scale.
Director of Queer Screen as well, obviously, now that Paul Struthers has stepped out and also got a fantastic new job.
I saw in San Fran.
Yeah, director of the Frameline Film Festival, which is a absolutely prolific, I don't want to use that word twice one talk break, but I'm going to, queer film festival in San Francisco. Really big ups to him. We're going to see if we can get some of the past favourite guests and contributors on for the show and just have a chat with all of them and make sure that we can really highlight some of the great stuff that they've been doing. Maybe pick a few of our favourite tunes and share some of the memories with you because we are only going to be on for one last time.
Celebrations Down Memory Lane, that is coming up next Friday. In the meantime, you better stay tuned and keep your ears peeled. There is a Gay Core Classic collaboration coming up. If you might remember from about a year back, we did a crossover with Hardcore Classic, which is the hip-hop show that comes up at 8 o'clock, which is just in a couple of minutes' time.
Just in a few momies. It was with Naveen Ho, Hip Hop Ho. Ella Haynes is in the studio. She's going to be bringing you stuff. We're chatting queer culture within hip hop, within rap society. Before we get to all of that, I thought I'd take a track off the new remix album that just dropped from Yes Lord. It is the LP from No Worries. This one contains a lot of language, a lot of swear words.
Ooh, ouchie.
A lot of bad, naughty stuff. Not that you would have already experienced that in this program itself.
Absolutely not. I'm so sorry, but no.
This is Suede, remixed off Yes Lord.
I'm wearing suede shoes. No, I'm not, but I wish I was. I don't have that much money, but if we got paid for this, I could probably get them.
It would be great, wouldn't it?
I'd like a bit more money if you have some to send some.
Stick around for the next hour, Gaycore Classic. Coming up, the team up of Hardcore Classic and Gay Panic coming at you.
Wonderful.
You gon' listen to this Marvin, you gon' listen to this Bloodstone. What? All y'all niggas want that Barry White. Well, I don't really fuck with that right there. That can make a nigga act up right there. But go and get your rocks off, boo. No, I don't really do all that, but it's more for you. Come on! I'm far from a pimp, but I'm close to you. You fuckin' with an old soul twice removed. My pops used to work up on the fighter jets. Maybe that's the reason I be through. Now who the fuck called me a player? I ain't one of these young niggas out here sweating for a pay stub. I'm a coach, I'ma teach these bitches how to lay up. Now most of y'all can't do shit, but all my chicks cook grits. I roll a spliff at the same damn time. You ain't lived long enough to have a bitch this fine. Not if you don't mind. If I call you a bitch, it's cause you're my bitch. And as long as no one else call you a bitch, then there won't be no problems tonight. If I call you a trick, it's cause you paid rent. And as long as you don't call it the six, then there won't be no problems. Walk with me now. She with it. She with it. Shit, keep it 300. I ain't even gotta hit it. She with it. She with it. All she wanna do is watch a real nigga winning it. She with it. She with it. Look me in my eye, there'll be no sin. She with it. She with it. Got a whole lot of women, all of them with it. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. My mama said don't trust these hoes, boy, be about your new story. Now my mama told me that, why the fuck would I listen to you? Yes, Lord. You never go broke chasing riches, but you might go broke chasing every little stank ass hoe with a tongue piercing. Now, if I call you a bitch, it's cause you're my bitch. And as long as no one else call you a bitch, then there won't be no problems. Now, if I call you a trick, it's cause you paid rent. And as long as you don't call up six, then there won't be no problems. Walk with me now. She with it. She with it. She keep it 300. I ain't even gotta hit it. She with it. She with it. All she wanna do is watch a real nigga winning it. She with it. She with it. Look me in my eye, there'll be no sin.